Hey, thanks for joining us. Nice to be with you again. This is Richard from Lost Arts Radio, and we're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's got some insights about dealing with a world that's completely insane, full of misinformation and intentional distortion, and how in the world we're supposed to deal with that and maintain sanity and not go crazy. So very relevant to all of us, I think. Welcome, Dr. Cousins. Let's see where this goes.
Thank you, Richard. So one of the same things to do is dance and get a little grounded and still be able to flow. So we're going to do dancing for a few minutes, and I hope everybody joins me because we really do need to dance through this very wild world. Let's just sit for a little meditation, just a moment or two here. And also we come out of meditation. And as Richard said, our topic is not how you make sense out of a upside down, sideways world that's speaking nonsense and expects you to take it as reality. No. The issue we're facing is first recognizing when it's upside down and backwards. And there's so many examples that it's really hard. You know, we can look at the political world. We can look at the health world. You know, take the COVID shot. But a little detail. 40 people get the COVID shot have 40% more COVID after getting the shot. Oh, a little detail. And you're telling me to take that shot? Oh, really? Or take the COVID shot and a lot more people die. And then take the COVID shot and normally young kids and even teenagers do not get cardiomyelitis or cardiac inflammation. But take the shot, you got a good chance of getting it. You know, so, oh, but there's no problem. It's totally safe, except it's not safe. So there's a constant double talk, you know. And is there a war, or is it just a peacekeeping mission? As the NATO wants to talk about, you know, the Russian, you know, the war there. It's like, wow. So kind of on every level, you know, CO2 is dangerous. Oh, yeah? If you don't have CO2, all the plants die. And is that really the cause of global warming? Well, first, there's no proof now that there is a ongoing global warming. What we do know is that there's cycles of global warming and cooling. And these cycles have been going on for the last 5,000 years that we've been able to track it. And there's cycles of 200 years and 5,000 years. And so we have cycles of global warming and cooling. It's been there. And in the 1970s, they thought we're going to have such global cooling that we'll be entering the glacial age again. So there's this consistent confusion of reality. And so whether we call it medical, whether we call it political, whether we call it climate, there's a kind of upside down, sideways thing. So the question is, not to give you a bunch of list of this, but for people to understand that they aren't stupid and they have to trust not all what the politicians or doctors or the whatever are telling you, but if it doesn't fit, I will call it the common sense thing, then maybe it's really something you don't need to go against your belief in yourself. Because what this does is that when you're 1984, when you're told up is down and you have to accept that, or we're going to make your life difficult, we're dealing with that kind of reality, unreality. And one of the main ways that we stop this process is to collectively understand and not be afraid to speak what we're saying, that this is really not good. You know, this is wrong. It's untrue. And you can't sell, you know, men can have babies. Really? No, they really can't. And men are XY chromosomes. They're not XX chromosomes. And women are XX. rocks. You know, there's rare exceptions, but we're not talking about rare exceptions. We're talking about ongoing reality. And so we have our reality being really scrambled. And so there's more and more mental confusion. Now, is this on purpose? Is it by accident? You know, I can't give you an exact answer, but I can say that the New World Order, the global elite, want to have people lose their belief in themselves and their belief in their own minds, become so muddled that they don't know what to believe, so they will follow some kind of external orders, savior kind of thing. Now, it's already not working, you know, the World Economic Forum, their chairman has just kind of resigned and kind of immediately, and they seem to be falling apart more. But the point I'm making is there is a serious effort on multiple levels of our lives, of our universe, to tell us that up is down, night is day. And it's in our job is to collectively work together to start reaffirming reality that seems to be practical. Then, you know, there's not everything is totally clean and clear, but it's pretty reasonable that men can have babies. So I'm talking about on that level, because it's at that level that the reality is being seriously affected. You know, the amount of confusion, teenagers are very, very susceptible to all this confusion. Generally speaking, statistically speaking, very, very small percentage of teenagers don't know what sex they are as their hormones begin to kind of wake up. And but what we're seeing in our society is there's serious confusion going on with teenagers that we've never really had before. So what do you get? You get scrambled minds and confused people, and it makes it easier for the elites to control them. So that's a kind of an example of what we're looking at. Richard, is there anything you'd like to add here to this story?
Yeah, just that I agree with you completely. And, you know, when I look at this from a larger perspective, it looks like we've come as, you know, from where we came from, and there's all kinds of evidence that we come from complete, unconditional, infinite love as our natural state. And we come into this environment in the 3D world. And if I had to characterize it in general, I would say it's like a giant insane hospital where the staff and the patients are all crazy, and we're supposed to maintain our sanity and our perspective and our common sense in the middle of that environment. The only way to do it that I know of is get back our connection to where we came from and who we actually are, and judge things from that perspective. And, you know, there's so many interesting topics that come out of this, one of which is the idea of emotion and feelings, which are denigrated in general because feelings can be crazy and they can lead you to act against your own interests and hurt other people. But there's a level of feeling that comes back when you get reconnected to who you are that will warn you and guide you and internally guide you about what's right and wrong. You don't have to look it up every time in a code of ethics, because there's not time to do that. You need to be in touch in moment to moment, real time, to know how to navigate this environment. And it is possible, but it requires internal connection.
So you're touching on what's very important. Is what are the ways of approaching this? Okay.
And where's it coming from? You know, like you said, is it intentional? Well, that is complex and deep.
I tend to feel it's a little bit more intentional than that. I'm not talking about the school teacher level where they, you know, they're scrambled, and homeschooling is only one of the few safe places you can do to learn. I'm talking, people know at a certain level, they know what they're doing. And they're part of this bigger picture of scrambling people's minds.
Right. And it's interesting because they know and they don't know at the same time. They know what they're doing. Like the person that robs a bank knows they're robbing the bank. They've planned the whole thing. They're carrying it out. They're doing exactly what they intended to do. But they're out of touch with why not to do that. And on that level, they don't know.
That's a moral thing. And there's a case example in Australia where a girl, these are like sixth grade girls, you know, fifth grade girls, and she decided she was a cat.
Right.
So the other girl was kind of thinking, whoever, you're not a cat. This is ridiculous, you know. You don't have a kitty litter box. You don't have this. You're not a cat. And the teacher attacked the student and threw her out of the classroom, who was calling the absurdity.
Right.
And that's a little scary.
And a lot of those teachers are sincere when they do that.
Yeah, which is, you know, making a point of everybody's caught in the delusion. You know, the king doesn't have clothes. You know, it's that story.
Psychological.
But there's also a story where they do know what's going on, and they are pushing people to be confused.
Right. So both are happening. But I've run into school teachers that believe that stuff.
Oh no, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. You know, and I don't want to make any statements about school teachers. Okay, at this point. But
well, I'm talking about school teachers up to and including graduate schools of colleges.
I get it. You know, this is at the PhD level. Look at with Harvard and all that. So what's the solution? I want to point us towards solution consciousness here. And one of the solutions is what Richard, you already said. We need to go inside, say, my style is, you know, meditate, get in touch with your internal truth.
Right. Okay. It's not just one more activity. It's essential.
It's an essential sanity preserving action. Because in the silence of meditation, the truth speaks to you. Okay?
Right, exactly.
Now, another level is find people who you trust, who you also feel have not lost their sanity and are not caught in this dystopian information bubble. And use some of them as checkpoints, just like what we're doing with this program. Okay? And that's another really important way. A third, connected like that, but finding leaders who are, you know, have called it a fraud and are speaking that level, and checking with them. It's important to have a few different checkpoints. Your internal thing, your close circle of friends who you have selected, who you trust are able to see reality, and also leaders. So those are three check-in points. And then the final check-in point is historical. Have men ever had babies? Well, we don't really have a good history of that happening. And, you know, all those kind of things. I don't want to just talk about gender. There's just like historically that's never been accepted. Now it's accepted, whatever that is. And so there's a historical part to it as well. Right. So
all those are
checkpoints. Richard, go ahead.
All those are also subject to error because of where we are in our imperfect state at the moment.
Yeah.
There has to be, the internal connection has to be primary, because if you have a trusted friend or a teacher or a leader and they make a mistake, if you're connected inside, you'll catch it and not turn against them, but help them to, with their own clarity by what you can contribute. And,
no.
and the same applies to historical precedent, because the fact that something's been done for thousands of years doesn't make it a good idea. And you have to have enough internal connection to see that.
Now, the flip side, because this, you're getting into something that's important, is that you can also be off, subjectively off yourself. And there are plenty of people who, you know, think they're meditating or contemplating, but they're so affected by the mass consciousness that they actually come out with the wrong answers. Okay, so we have that also. So either way, there are, it's not easy. Okay, we can be affected by the mass consciousness, and that will affect our internal consciousness as well. So
realizing that leads to natural humility too.
Yeah, it definitely, that's a good point. So the, which is exactly where I'm going. So the humility part is say, look, let me check all these checkpoints and see where, and hopefully enough of it will correlate that I can get that that's the right, you know, answer in the moment. That's reality in the moment. So having a few checkpoints is kind of a safeguard. That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting that the attitude of real science is the same as the attitude of real spiritual growth.
Right.
Knowing that we're ourselves, we're subject to error until we get to the end.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about Fauci and the real science, and it's like, that's a dangerous word these days, real science. You know, but we have to find places where they agree, 2 and 2 equals 4, and women have babies, not men. And there has to be some basic scientific agreements on things.
They're talking about implanting uteruses in men to make sure that that's true.
Yeah, I understand. But still, that doesn't invalidate anything. That just says, yeah, if you do really weird things, you get a different answer. But that's an exception. It doesn't really prove the rule, you know, of that. But that's a far out way of thinking. It's like, let's just subvert nature.
So you have to be really careful with authority figures, because what you said about finding trusted friends and leaders is true, but it's also the problem with the doctors. Because those are trusted authority figures, and they're telling people to take hormones and change their bodies.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we have that problem that goes on. Anybody who take the judges,
right?
You have
trust
of thinking. And a corruption of trust that's going on at almost every level, you know. And a society that at least in the biblical teaching, a society that doesn't really have judges of integrity disintegrates. It can't sustain itself. That's how important this judicial thing is. But it's the same issue. Judging. And having judges that are bought off, that are corrupt, and like, wow. So it's kind of like every level of our society is being affected. Half the publications in some of the respected scientific journals are fake papers.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah. So the issue of integrity is extremely important. So our work is the best we can as human beings to associate with people whose integrity we trust and whose judgment sees, you know, one, it correlates with us, and that's a positive and a negative, you know, but whose judgment we trust, you know, who really can say 2 and 2 equals 4, and create a circle that can hold us so that when they make all these different statements that are patently not true, we have framework and we have, you know, the at least 5 points of, you know, that have to correlate. And if they don't correlate, then we know that this is a lie.
Right. And in your own learning process, general principle is to question everything.
Well, in our world, everything is kind of questionable.
Yeah, even your own perception, as it gradually clarifies, there has to be no resistance to seeing that you've made a mistake.
And that takes, as you said before, humility.
Yeah, exactly. That way your path forward is smoother.
Right.
But this is a really challenging environment. There's no question about it.
And it's an environment where spiritual growth can happen because we have to stand up for what we perceive as truth the best we can.
Right.
And the trouble is that everyone sees the truth, and then it's easy to say, oh, it's all relative, which is further from the truth. You know, gravity does exist. We're not going to pretend it doesn't. No. Does it exist in a spaceship above a certain point in the atmosphere? No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about gravity on planet Earth. So you can always get things that confuse it. You know, false exceptions. So it's hard. We have to, you know, but we have to address that it's hard. We have to address it's been made very difficult because, you know, at every level of our society, there's a breakdown.
Right.
And so if we see the corrupt judges who are supposed to really know what's going on, you know, that's a serious symptom. And I think we're going to see it easily goes to the Supreme Court as that those judges also are not to be trusted.
Right. And one of the most difficult concepts for most people to grasp is that people like those corrupt judges or the others that are doing things that are wrong, they're victims too. They're looking through distorted mind programs. And if they get past those, everything changes. They're not intrinsically evil. You know, they're just distorted. And just they're functioning on misinformation like the other people.
Well, I can't totally agree with you there. I think the judge like that, Judge Boasberg, I think as he's been exposed, I think he is very evil in his actions. Not just as a judge, but as a person.
I'm not disagreeing on that level. I'm pointing out another level. That if you remove all of that mind programming that makes him identify as evil, then his spiritual nature comes out and everything changes.
Okay, yes, we agree with that.
So on that level, he's not evil. But on the level of functionality and current status, he's identified as an evil character and he's playing that part, right, thinking that's who he is. And he thinks he's that evil being, and it's because that distortion has not been fully removed.
Yeah, I'm not sure he even thinks he's evil. I think he thinks what he's possibly, he's thinking what he's doing is just fine if I can get away with it. So there are different interpretations of how people see themselves. I don't know. I haven't heard from him, you know. But there's a few options there. It's possible that, you know, there's levels of this where we really have to say that they've crossed the line. In the Kabbalistic, we talk about the 50 gates. And if the 49th gate is where people are hovering on the line, now are you going to cross it? And when you cross that, the 50th gate, you don't return. Okay? You don't return to goodness. You're committed in a deep way. And the story of Pharaoh, an example, he was really, he had choice up to the fifth plague, and then after that he had no choice. He was trapped in his flow, only to create disaster.
And I'm saying that, I mean, it's kind of a theoretical point at this juncture, but I'm saying that nobody has to be lost. In other words, maybe once you cross a certain line, you signed up for certain horrible karma, and that has to be lived through. But ultimately, the fact of who you really are doesn't change. And it may be a long course that you set up for yourself, but I don't see you being necessarily a permanent loss.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know where Hitler stands in this whole picture. Right. Your position is he could be redeemed? Maybe.
You know, how do we know that's impossible? It doesn't feel right to me.
Exactly what I'm saying. We don't know. Yeah. We don't. But in the big picture, away from those extremes, we can see the normal person who starts to catch on, you know, is definitely redeemable.
Right.
So we'll go away from the extreme to say most people will think, oh, I made some mistakes that I can do. No, they're redeemable and they can straighten things out. That's the key point I think you were really making, is that we really can redeem ourselves. And it's a biblical formula. The key is acknowledge you made a mistake. See your process that led you to the mistake, your belief systems, and commit to change your way so you're not getting that mistake again. It's very simple. And that's how you redeem yourself. And actually, it is the formula for redemption from sin and everything else. It's pretty straightforward. You know, you ask for forgiveness, you get forgiven, and you see what led you into that mistake, and then you also commit never to do that again as part of the forgiveness process.
Right, and to realize that you're subject to error. And when you find yourself off track, instead of condemning yourself, just come back.
Right. That's it. That's exactly what we're talking about. You have to give yourself the space to redeem.
Right.
To know you can't redeem, that's the way it is.
Exactly. Go ahead. Condemnation of yourself is not productive.
Right. Right. So you know, with one of the circle. This is how you cure yourself. You don't cure yourself if you stay condemning yourself because you keep repeating that platform. So you have to forgive yourself and move on.
The other thing that's interesting about that is if you forgive yourself, as a general rule, you tend to do that with other people too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't forgive yourself, you can't really forgive others.
Yes. Yes, yes. So it starts a whole really positive cycle. No question about it. No question about it. So, I want to bless everybody that we're able to forgive ourselves and start afresh. And I thank Richard, I thank Doug behind the scenes for all the good work and all the good energy that's been brought. And peace be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om itakyoasin. I turn it over to Richard.
Thank you, Gabriel. Very relevant to everything we're dealing with today and every day. And it's helpful to remember that insanity in this mental hospital may be contagious and spread all over the place, but so is sanity.
Yes.
And if you get back in touch with who you are, it spreads and it helps and affects everybody more than any arguments that you might be able to have about principles. Become what you believe, you know, and get in touch with what you really have always been. And the way to do that is that there's a silence inside. It's the whole point of meditation. And getting in touch with that allows what's real to come through more and more. And it's sitting there waiting. It's available. So, and the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and then we're out of time, is that forgiving yourself is not egotistical. It's not a mistake. In fact, you can go beyond forgiveness in realizing that it wasn't your fault. You were dealing with incredible deceptive information, and you did the best you could under the circumstances. And there's really nothing to forgive. It's more of a question of self-love. And if you do that, you can have the same attitude toward other people. Can be brought into the 3D world is the spirit we came from, which is unconditional love, and realizing we're all networked and everything becomes natural and harmonious. It's a spirit that can come back. So anyway, thank you to Gabriel and Doug. Really appreciate the insight and the reminder. Try to use it today and be aware of the incredible being you really are. And that lets you see you. Else. So take care, and we'll see you next time. Have a good week.